This is Leicester Emergent Arts Radio.
In practical life, they emerge, but the personal shadow is the personal shortcomings of things which every human being could be conscious of, which is not archetypal and therefore not a mystery. For instance, such things as greed for money or jealousy. Jealousy is one of the aspects of the shadow. Or laziness, sloppiness, unrelatedness, sentimentality, and whatnot. Inferiorities, which everybody has, but prefers not to know about. And because we generally strive through education and through environmental pressure to be a bit better than we actually are. Or we have our own ideals. I oughtn't to be jealous. I oughtn't to have a power complex. But you see, for instance, that in criminals, they sometimes live their inferiority, and then they have a personal shadow which is noble. They dream about noble people, and it's just reversed. They live, so to speak, their mean side, and then they have a positive shadow. And therefore, even in what is more the average truth, the inferior shadow is not really bad. It's just human, all too human. And something one could know about, if one is jealous or if one is suddenly possessed by wanting money or so on, one could know about it if one is honest with oneself. But the collective shadow has to do with the dark side of the archetype of the self. That means is the shadow of the God image. In the Christian tradition, it would be the devil. And that has always been personified and felt as something which has not to do directly with the human being. I mean, if somebody is possessed by the devil, he's much worse than just, he's not human, it's demonic. But on the other hand, generally that merges. First you have this area of dim, dark side, and behind it lurks the other. I've, for instance, seen that when Germany went to the devil in Nazism, people fell into it through their personal shadow. for instance, they didn't want to lose their job because they were clinging to money. That was their personal shadow. But then they joined in with the Nazi movement for that reason and did much worse things than they would have done normally under normal social conditions. So you can say the personal shadow is the bridge to the collective shadow or the open door to the collective shadow. But the collective shadow comes up in those terrible mass psychoses.
Well, now, if a person becomes more aware of the personal shadow...
That's why it's so tremendously important, because then you don't fall into the collective shadow.
There's not that automatic...
There's not that... It's like if you have a room and there's one door much shut, and there the devil can come in. And if you know your personal shadow, you can shut all the doors.
So, for example...
Then you don't join in into... massacres and holocausts and such.
You catch yourself and you can
stop. Yourself and you realize that, and you can keep out of it and keep reasonable, keep your head. While the average person who doesn't know about her personal shadow, they get swept away by the collective evil.
I mean, we should start with what they call the here and now. Where are we now? What's psychology worth now? Look at the world. Look at the USA. Look at all the people who've taken psychology courses, and look at the lack of psychology in our government, in our attitudes. We haven't a clue. We go around the world as if... there was no such thing as a psyche, no such thing as a soul. I mean, we bomb and exploit and take and kill, and as if this had no effect in the soul of our own people, let alone other people. If you ask me, as you did when we were talking earlier, what's on my mind, I'm worried about the soul of our own country. From the effects of what we do. That certainly is on my mind.
And when you talk about the soul of our country and our soul, tell me what you mean by that.
Well, I think I mean what people say when they've heard soul music, or when they have eaten soul food, or when they address each other as soul brother, soul sister, or their partner is their soul mate. They know what they're talking about. The curious thing is, when you try to take what they're talking about, what they sense we're talking about, and translate it into psychology, you lose it. You don't know what it is, because you can't define it in rational terms, in the usual, not rational, but conceptual terms, you know, making a nice, clean idea of it. It's not a clean idea, it's experience. It's something that has to do with the depth of you, It has to do with something that matters. It has to do with something to do with love, with connection, something to do with risk and death. So those are all involved in that. Also tragedy. You think of soul music, and there's this deep sense of beauty and tragedy together. That's all to do with soul.
Mm-hmm. So psychology as a discipline seems to miss that.
I think it's afraid of it. I think it invents boxes, diagnoses, tests, statistics, graphs, rules, laws, to keep it away. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little tough on psychology, mm-hmm. but not on soul. And yet psychology, the word psyche, is the soul is the English word for the Greek word psyche. And psychology should mean the stud logos, the study of the psyche, the study of the soul. But I don't think psychology is the study of the soul as universities present it. Thank you.
when you observe the world, you see people, you see houses, you see the sky, you see tangible objects. But when you observe yourself within, you see moving images, a world of images, generally known as fantasies. Yet these fantasies are facts. You see, it is a fact that a man has such and such a fantasy. And it is such a tangible fact, for instance, that when a man has a certain fantasy, another man may lose his life. Or a bridge is spilled. These houses were all fantasies. Everything you do here, all of your houses, everything was fantasy to begin with. And fantasy has a proper reality. It is, that is not to be forgotten. Fantasy is not nothing. It is, of course, not a tangible object, but it is a fact, nevertheless. It is a form of energy. Despite the fact we can't measure it, it is a manifestation of something. And that is a reality that is just a reality as, for instance, the peace treaty of Versailles or something like that. It is no more, you can't show it. But it has been a fact. And so the psychical events are facts, are realities. And when you observe the stream of images within, you observe an aspect of the world. Of the world within. And so, you see, the man who is going by the external world, by the influence of the external world, say, society, or perceptions, sense perceptions, thinks that he is more valid, you know, because this is valid, this is real. And the man who goes by the subjective factor is not valid because subjective factor is nothing. No, that man is just as well based, because he is based, he bases himself upon the world from within. And so he's quite right, even if he says, oh, there's nothing but my fantasy, you know. Man doesn't stand forever his nullification. Once there will be a reaction. And I see it setting in, you know, when I think of my patients, they all seek their own existence and to assure their existence against that complete atomization into nothingness or into meaninglessness. Man cannot stand a meaningless life. We need more understanding of human nature, because the only real danger that exists is man himself. He is the great danger. And we are pitifully unaware of it. We know nothing of man. Far too little. His psyche should be studied, because we are the origin of all coming evil.
Thank you. Thank you. This is Leicester Emergent Arts Radio.